KZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. As the government shutdown drags on and air traffic controllers are being forced to work without pay, the number of sick calls are increasing. In Orlando, delays growing this evening. There are a limited number of controllers, but at times they'll only be able to handle 10 planes an hour.
There are staffing problems as well for controllers in Southern California tonight. Newark, Dallas, Denver, and Las Vegas.
ABC's Alex Stone. More effects of the government shutdown. As of Saturday, there'll be no funding for SNAP food benefits. Two dozen states' attorneys general are suing to keep money flowing to the program. Abby Zwirner, a Virginia teacher, shot by her first grade student in 2023, testifying today in her lawsuit against the school district. The Zwirner says school officials ignored warnings that the child may have had a gun. She's seeking $40 million. In the Middle East, Israel says it's now in possession of two coffins with remains believed to belong to two more of the hostages. This is ABC News. A Trump-appointed judge offering commendations for two former prosecutors in the wake of their suspensions during a criminal case involving a former January 6 defendant. ABC's Stephen Portnoy has more.
The two suspended prosecutors sat alongside other spectators watching the proceedings from the back of the courtroom. Their suspension came after the two prosecutors submitted a sentencing recommendation following the conviction of defendant Taylor Toronto on threat and firearms charges. Earlier this year, he was among those pardoned for his part in the January 6th attack, which the prosecutors wrote in their memo was committed by a mob of rioters. Following their suspension, their replacements resubmitted the memo without that phrase.
Chatbot website Character AI says it will no longer allow children under 18 to engage with its platform after a string of lawsuits accused the site of contributing to mental health issues, including suicide amongst teens. The company saying, "We do think that it's the right thing to do, given the questions we have raised about how teens interact with this new technology." Dave Packer, ABC News.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Listen to the Civic Media exclusive podcast, Busted Pencils.
I mean, that comes naturally for me, Jacob, as a blue-collar scholar. I really love knowing, hey, what are the skills I need to complete the job? And how can I be the very best? I really think that we owe it to the next generation. And I don't even mean just young people, but anybody thinking about, hey, I'm going to change my career pathway. I think we owe it to them to say, well, here are the experts in your industry.
Subscribe to Busted Pencils wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for the Midwest Farm Report, with me, Pam Yonke.
The Panthers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the Carolina Panthers Sunday at noon. Green Bay will wear their 1923 throwback jerseys. Jordan Love named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week for his performance against the Steelers. College hoops. The Wisconsin Badgers over the UW-Platteville Pioneers. 69-53 in a charity exhibition. The Badgers getting off to a slow start. Shooting, giving up turnovers. Great guard.
Yeah, the turnovers will break down, but I was happy with how we turned up the defensive pressure late in the first half.
The Bucks at home for a big one against Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors tonight. Baseball, the Minnesota Twins have hired Derek Shelton as their new manager. Shelton had been the bench coach there before taking over as the Pirates manager 5 years ago. The Blue Jays winning Game 5 of the World Series, 6-1. Game 6 tomorrow night in Toronto. The Blue Jays lead the Dodgers 3-2. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Big news from the Taylor Sheridan universe. The Yellowstone creator is leaving Home, which is Paramount Plus, and migrating to NBC. In addition to Yellowstone and its many spinoffs, Sheridan has also created Lawman Bass Reeves, Tulsa King, The Mayor of Kingstown, and Lioness, just to name a few. His material will stay at Paramount Plus until his deal is up in 2028, but he can start working for NBC Universal in 2026 with a new screenplay that is headed for production. The Texas native has also written movies like Sicario, Hell or High Water and wrote and directed 2017's Wind River, which starred Jeremy Renner and Elizabeth Olsen. According to The Hollywood Reporter, this is a big blow to Paramount, but they still have TV juggernauts Stranger Things and South Park. Maybe the only two other shows on TV Sheridan didn't create. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yankee here. You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low in the low 30s. For tomorrow, more clouds, slight rain chance, highs in the mid-40s. A slight shower chance again on Saturday, highs only low 40s. Then partly sunny and a high close to 50 Sunday. Currently 35 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, time for a little recombobulating with Civic Media's political editor Dan Schaefer and the creator of the Recombobulation Area. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues and human issues are Native issues. Hey, we're going to have Robert Lilligren on, a CEO of Native American Community Development Institute, on in just a few minutes. And then ending the show with Wendy with her sacred animal portion of our show that we really enjoy, and I know people out there in Turtle Island really love it. I want to talk about a couple things going on here. Of course, November 1st, we have the Gathering for Children and Returning Adoptees powwow at the Minneapolis American Indian Center, November 1st. Grand entry 1 and 7. Come on in early and support. Also, November 2nd, I want to talk about Paul Metz's 70th birthday party. Bash. It's a special concert for AM 950, and it's at 7 p.m. at the Esther House in Minneapolis. For more information, check out AM 950's website. And then also I want to really, a friend of mine brought this to my attention. I did see this go around Facebook and all the other formats. And what I wanted to do is just talk a little bit about Indigenous Heritage Month here in Madison, Wisconsin. So all you people that listen to us in Wisconsin on Civic Media and all the other ways that you listen, Thursday, November 6th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., Madison's Children's Museum at 100 Hamilton Street in Madison, Wisconsin. There's going to be an Indigenous Heritage Special from 5 to 8 p.m. And we have one of our relatives, Blue Sky Logan, and his group are going to be talking about things, Ho-Chunk, and he's a craftsman, teacher, speaker, activist, and entertainer, and singer. And Shia Schreiber, a member of Martin Falls Band of Ojibwe, will also be there presenting. And I just want to give a quick shout out to my buddy Junko, who gave me this information to bring up. Also, before we get Robert Lilligren on, I wanted to say something about what's going on here nationally and, of course, locally, too. I was blessed to be work for our nation and as a legislator for 4 years, and I had a chance to work with this person and admire him prior to his recent presidency of Ho-Chunk Nation. And as you know, that's in Wisconsin, and we're all over Turtle Island too. His name's John Greendeer, and John posted something that I'd really, really I like to read, and I'm going to read it. So this was posted today, and John had a heart attack, so there'll be a thing here that he says about dying, that he died, and I just want to preface that right now. And I'm going to read this real quick. This is from John Greendeer, president of Ho-Chunk Nation. They tried removing us to take our traditional homelands for their own. They fatally attacked many of our villages, brought sick upon our people, pulled our children from our homes, sterilized our women, relatives, and forced policies to assimilate us away from our traditional cultures and ceremonies. My friends and colleagues leading their tribal nations, remember that day you took office, that day your family dressed you up, and that drum sang for you and your people sent you to the front to watch out for them? This is what they were asking of you. Quit playing the game the federal government wants you to play. They want you to snivel about treaties and their hardships so they can put their white hero cape on and save you. Let me tell you something. They would commit all these atrocities again if their disposition of dominance was ever threatened. Be kind, be prepared, but never forget that. I already died, so I ain't worried about walking on eggshells anymore. The legacy of tribal leadership has gotten us pretty far, but the fact that we are all trying to find solutions to feed our people when there isn't a food shortage should tell you this is a war that are on those in need. It always has been. My brain and body are literally corroding, protecting our grants, our healthcare, our structures, that we actually do their work out of our own time and our own dime. It's a literal clown show that leaders in governments across the country are forced to watch and reimitate ridiculous policies to preserve some humanity, decorum, and the far-gone notion of tranquility. Regardless of what they throw at us, they will still be standing as we always have been. We'll still be standing as we always have been. Those who are first affected by food share benefits, hold tight. I called out all our leaders and legislators together, and we should have something to help soon. And for you, the federal government, don't ever tell us what to do if you can't even figure out how to stay open. Our government is working just fine. And that was from our friend and President John Greendeer of the Ho-Chunk Nation. And I just want to say a big peenigie. Thank you so much, John. You know, I really appreciate your leadership, and I really appreciate you talking about this. And we have been under attack for 500 years, and we do take care of our people. You know, through our own means, we have our own, medical, we have our own government. And we're a sovereign nation, like many of the 500 recognized tribes, which we all know that there's more than 500 tribes out there. And so good words from our president of Ho-Chunk Nation, John Greendeer. And I know from my short time as a legislator for Ho-Chunk Nation that there are a lot of great leaders for their people across Turtle Island. And I know that they will take heed to this and take care of their people. And that's so important too. And it's what we do as Native Americans, you know, is take care of our own. And I'm just really, really happy and blessed to be a Native American. And, you know, we're still here, the resilience, all these things that have kept us alive. You know, I am somebody's dream of 500 years ago. That resilience, that we're still here, and we are the seventh generation, and we need to protect the next seven generations. And that's what we do as Native people. You know, of course we have our faults just like any other human, but this is our credo. This is what we live by. I seen my grandchildren today, and it's a beautiful thing that we're able to see this day, that we have grandchildren that are thriving, children that are thriving, leaders that are leading, becoming doctors, becoming lawyers, becoming just great people. For all the cards that were up against Native Americans for the past 500 years, we're doing pretty well. And by that text that President John Green Deere sent out all across Turtle Island, it says it all. We have great leaders, and we always have. And I'm just blessed to live in this time and see these great leaders. Hey, up next, we're going to talk to our friend Robert Lilgren. This is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short message. Please stay with us. All My Relations Arts presents Matrilineal Memory by Hopi artist Michaela Schaefer. This powerful exhibition blends painting, poetry, and installations, inviting reflections on memory, culture, and healing. Join us for the opening reception Thursday, October 16th, 6 to 8 p.m. at All My Relations Arts on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Matrilineal Memory runs October 16th through December 13th. Experience the unveiling of an exhibition that speaks to the heart. Learn more at allmyrelationsarts.org.
Are you a Metro Transit rider? Join the Free Riders Club and let your voice be heard. Our motto is Transit Voices United, and when you become a member, you'll participate more closely in decision-making, plus earn the opportunity for exclusive merchandise at Metro Transit events. Help improve your transit system. We value your opinion. Join at metrotransit.org/ridersclub and start being rewarded today. That's the Riders Club at metrotransit.org/ridersclub.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Across Native communities, tradition and connection guide every step. Make Voting a Tradition, or MVAT, honors that spirit, helping generations come together to shape the future of Native communities. By learning from each other and sharing knowledge through trusted relationships, MVAT helps build trust and make sure Native voices are heard. Voting is more than a right. It's a way to protect the needs of your community and build the future you want. Vote together. Stand together. Learn more at makevotingatradition.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Pilot, and we're going to have our friend Robert Lilgren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute, on in just a second here. I know he's been jogging and riding his bike to get here on time, and I really appreciate you. I read a big long text from our president of Ho-Chunk Nation, and it's just inspiring to hear from John Green Deere and how they're working on things and solutions. And we know we've been stacked up against for many, many years, and I don't know if you saw that. I could send it to you. It was beautiful. It was a couple minute read. But welcome, Robert Lilgren. And I want to congratulate you, Robert. You know, I don't congratulate you enough, but you won, NADCTI, Native American Community Development Institute, was honored as from the Minnesota Council of Nonprofits as an award-winning, dealy bopper. And I just want to say good on you, and well, well, well deserved.
Very kind. Thank you. Buju, Robert. I think Wendy's here somewhere. So Buju, Wendy as well. always great to be here. Sorry to be late. I biked home as quickly as I could. I had another media engagement right before this. So I'm kind of a media darling today, I guess. But yeah, you're right. Our organization, Native American Community Development Institute, NACDI, was recently awarded from the Minnesota Council of Nonprofits, which is an association of thousands of nonprofits in Minnesota. And at their big annual gathering recently, we were presented one of three awards they give out to nonprofits for their work. And ours was the Advocacy Award. And it was just such an honor to be recognized and to be featured at this luncheon event. And they even put together a really high quality video about our work. And that featured Make Voting a Tradition, our MBAT work, but it was really about all the work we do across the different areas. And this video is so good. I urge your listeners to look it up. So it's Minnesota Council of Nonprofits. It's NACDI, N-A-C-D-I. But I will tell you, have a tissue ready, because one of our organizer canvassers that works for Make Voting a Tradition tells the story that is so moving. It brings everyone who sees it to tears.
Yeah, and I have that on AM 950 Native Roots Radio Facebook page. And again, you can look it up on YouTube. Yes, I agree, yeah. Robert. And we talk about all the great work that's being done on the Avenue, and it's great to pause and congratulate Native American Community Development Institute for all their work. And
thanks.
It's great to have you on and all the work that you do, but I know you, your organization is very humble.
You're very kind and I appreciate it. And we don't do a lot of the work. We just catalyze it to get done, and we're kind of central to it. And you get a sense of that from the video. And then I got to say a few remarks like the other two winning orgs leads did. And I said in my remarks, you do this work and it's systems change work, and sometimes it's generational work, and you can't tell what kind of progress you're making, and you can't tell if anyone even notices what you're doing. So to receive some recognition like that was really meaningful. And Marcy, who's our organizer canvasser, who tells such a moving story, she talks about how engagement in this work changed her life. And when you're talking systems change, you're really talking about changing one life at a time, right?
Wow. Yeah, definitely. And we kind of know about a little of that changing our lives too, because I don't know, were you always thinking back in high school that you were going to be a city council member you were going to Brown Institute ready to spin some discs?
Radio. I was bartending for 17 years, wow, of that at the High Regents. I was a little landlord and I was involved in organizing at the grassroots level, but becoming an elected official or a public official was very accidental. It's funny. I was just talking about this with this reporter right before this, and it was kind of accidental, and I did it to make a point about the injustices that were happening to me, my community, people like me, brown people of lower wealth, and protesting the system against that, and then just how that kind of reverberated out to where I am now. I was always a big volunteer, and I ran for city council back in 2001. I was serving on 8 different sort of community boards and committees and councils, mostly at the grassroots, very, very grassroots. And like any good volunteer, that was all volunteer work, right? And like any good volunteer, my reward for doing a good job was more work. Right,
yeah. So. Well, your father must have been really proud, because after he retired from radio, and we like to talk about Chuck Lilligren every once in a while here on Native Roots Radio. I know you're your own person, but he came back into the community and taught language and was a great example to you and your family.
Yeah, I'm so proud of him. His work early in language reclamation, he sat at a number of language tables. We lived out in the northern metro, and my mom would make a big kettle of soup, for these language tables. And I found out years later from some of the people who were at those tables that they always thought he made the soup. And I was like, oh, hell no, that was my mom making the soup for y'all. Even today, surprisingly, young people will come up to me and say, you know, I was at language table with your dad, and he was always so generous with his knowledge and so kind and supportive. And some of these are people who are really excelling in the language reclamation movement. But, you know, it makes me very humble.
Yeah. That's awesome. And the legacy that you're leaving too is amazing. And I don't say this enough, but I just really appreciate you being on the show and sharing yourself, really.
It's always a pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity, Robert.
Robert, snap. That's all I'm going to say. There's a lot of craziness going on out there. But, you know, as our president, I read that thing about President Green Deer of Ho-Chunk Nation before last segment. And there's some amazing things happening here with our leaders. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So we're very fortunate here in the Twin Cities to have a fairly strong organized infrastructure of the Native organizations, and many of them are service organizations, and we organize under the umbrella of the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors, or MUID, or MUD, and the MUD leadership put out the alarm about, you know, SNAP benefits ending, or potentially ending, but now it looks like it's pretty much a done deal, and what are we going to do to make sure that our relatives are getting fed? And this conversation is happening in a lot of places, public sector counties here. And now, you know, we're trying to make people aware of the resources that are available and how we can come together and collaborate amongst our organizations to make sure that food remains accessible and secure, to our relatives. And so a couple of folks, Dr. Stately, who I know, Dr. Anthony Stately from the Native American Community Clinic, and Maggie Lawrence, who leads Walk on Teepee in St. Paul, really put out the call, and we started to come together. And because we have this organizational infrastructure, it's been very productive, where in our different subcommittees, or we had a whole MUD meeting, Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors meeting on Tuesday. But it's become very logistical, right? Well, one of the big things is cold storage. Well, organizations are saying, we have cold storage, you know. Some of it is distribution, you know. We can set up distribution points. Some of our elders and our families with children really can't get to a distribution point, so they may need delivery in things. And everyone's stepping into their part. And it was really rewarding, and it's a very frightening time, and you know, it's the federal government trying to control poor people by controlling their food, right? And so that's something that Native people and communities are very familiar with. You know, it's a historic strategy of colonization and forced assimilation and genocide. So, but we're ready. We're more ready, you know, and we're more coordinated. And I think our organization, NACD, we're not such a direct service provider, but we're excellent at communications, right? So as we assemble these strategies, that one of the roles NACD can play is to make sure that it's getting communicated out in a good way. And then we can use our location, which a lot of people know where Powell Grounds is. That could be a good distribution center and things. So we're all stepping in. I'm really proud of the community as much as I'm afraid of what's going to happen next.
Wow. Good points. I just reminisce back to when COVID hit and everything was shut down, and the Powwow Grounds and NACT really kicked it in. And during George Floyd, I mean, we were down there donating money, Wendy and I, and you guys had it going on. It was amazing.
Right. And we turned our art gallery into a pop-up food shelf. It was actually like a grocery store, right? And Angel Swan, who still works at NACD, had never set that up before, but she figured it out. And it was COVID, so we had to have, you know.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard.
As the government shutdown drags on and air traffic controllers are being forced to work without pay, the number of sick calls are increasing. In Orlando, delays growing this evening. There are a limited number of controllers, but at times they'll only be able to handle 10 planes an hour.
There are staffing problems as well for controllers in Southern California tonight. Newark, Dallas, Denver, and Las Vegas.
ABC's Alex Stone. More effects of the government shutdown. As of Saturday, there'll be no funding for SNAP food benefits. Two dozen states' attorneys general are suing to keep money flowing to the program. Abby Zwirner, a Virginia teacher shot by her first grade student in 2023, testifying today in her lawsuit against the school district. The Zwirner says school officials ignored warnings that the child may have had a gun. She's seeking $40 million. In the Middle East, Israel says it's now in possession of two coffins with remains believed to belong to two more of the hostages. This is ABC News.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 96.9 WBZH.
The Packers prepare for the Panthers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the Carolina Panthers Sunday at noon. Green Bay will wear their 1923 throwback jerseys. Jordan Love named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week for his performance against the Steelers. College hoops, the Wisconsin Badgers over the UW-Platteville Pioneers, 69-53 in a charity exhibition. The Badgers getting off to a slow start, shooting, giving up turnovers. Greg Gard.
Yeah, the turnovers will break down, but I was happy with how we turned up the defensive pressure late in the first half.
The Bucks at home for a big one against Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors tonight. Baseball, the Minnesota Twins have hired Derek Shelton as their new manager. Shelton had been the bench coach there before taking over as the Pirates manager 5 years ago. The Blue Jays winning Game 5 of the World Series, 6-1. Game 6 tomorrow night in Toronto. The Blue Jays lead the Dodgers 3-2. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 96.9 WBZH.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's one of Pete's picks. Truth and Treason is a really good film set in World War II Germany. The plot sees Helmuth, a teenage boy, watch his Jewish friend taken away by the Nazis, which changes his outlook on Hitler's Germany. After hearing messages from around the world on an old radio conflicting what he hears at home, Helmuth spreads the word covertly at night until he is caught. The film is based on a true story, and the parallels to what is happening currently in America are undeniable. The story is inspiring, and the lead character, courageous. Definitely worth a look. Even if you happen to see a movie that does not feature Paul Rudd in the cast, he's convincing other actors to take roles. Bobby Cannavale said it was Rudd who convinced him to take his role in Only Murders in the Building for season 5. The Tony Award-winning Cannavale plays talking corpse Nicky Cochimilio, a mobster who gets whacked. Season 5 comes to a close Tuesday night, October 28th. I have to check out that show. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low in the low 30s. For tomorrow, more clouds, slight rain chance, highs in the mid-40s. A slight shower chance again on Saturday, highs only low 40s. Then partly sunny and a high close to 50 Sunday. Currently 35 degrees.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Right up there on the list of stupid. The president of the United States decided to lay off 1,000 people or so at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Dr. Kristen Lierley.
They weren't laid off strategically. They were laid off haphazardly. J.D. Vance himself admitted that it's chaotic.
Nothing screams competent government like laying off the people who respond to Ebola.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens. And it's a bar band Friday night, so Terry Barr drops by with great music and fun chat. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot, and we are here with Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute, and White Earth citizen, Ojibwe. Ho-wa, good to see you again, and just a lot going on. We got, you know, I just want to, before I forget, because I know I have a limited time with you tonight, we got an election happening, very important. Yeah. All elections are important. Let's talk a little bit about that. reverberating here, that what's happening in Minneapolis all the way here in St. Paul. And I know Mayor Carter isn't a sure thing either here in St. Paul.
Well, that's what I've heard. And from this side of the river, he looks pretty strong. But I've heard that from a few other people. But yeah, it's a municipal election cycle here through our Make Voting a Tradition that you just spoke so kindly about. You know, we are very involved. And Make Voting a Tradition is more than just about getting people registered to vote and getting them to vote. It's about engagement with our political process, our public officials. You know, it can be kind of a heavy lift or an uphill climb in the Native community when historically we've been so damaged or even excluded from political processes here. And so it's, again, it's generational work, right? And so here it's a big deal. And during the even year elections, when there's lots of statewide and federal elections, there's a lot of attention that comes to our work and resources that come to our work. But in these odd year elections or off year elections that are just municipal, it's a little harder to generate that interest from statewide and national funders. But what I can tell is different this year, Robert, and I must say it's a little gratifying, is generally in these municipal, these odd year elections, there's nobody looking to support our work, and it's a bit of a chore to get the funding we need to continue this year-round work. But this year, I can tell that a lot of the sort of players who would normally fund us in even-year elections are sticking with us. And the sense I get is that they're interested in supporting and sustaining the infrastructure that we have in place so it doesn't all fall apart in an odd year, and then we have to build it back up again. Yeah. In an even year. And there's such an awareness of the importance of the elections of 2026 that our philanthropic partners locally and nationally are still really with us. We just had a meeting yesterday morning with the Minnesota Secretary of State, Steve Simon, who's always been a huge supporter of our work. And he actually generated a national Secretaries of State Award for Make Voting a Tradition just a couple years back. A huge honor. National. And he and one of his staff met because they understand that one of the things Make Voting a Tradition is successful at is reaching people who don't necessarily want to be engaged
in the
process. And so trying to learn from that. And you know, Native people are in a huge number, but these days when elections are won by 1 or 2%, we can be the margin of victory.
Right? And have been.
You're exactly right. So there's more and more value in engaging with us. But it's just, I'm so proud of the Make Voting a Tradition folks. They're very grassroots people, and that they're getting this kind of engagement and recognition from very highly placed office holders here.
Well, and I guess I can't really ask you on air because you're probably nonpartisan, right? We just want to get the vote out with your organization, correct?
Correct. We're nonpartisan. We have to be.
Yeah.
We're a 501c3 or a nonprofit, a neutral nonprofit. We are kind of noodling the idea of creating a political nonprofit. It's a 501c4, a C4.
Right.
Then we could do a candidate support and issue support, but as it is. But yeah.
We're not here.
I'm not at work. So.
that's a game changer.
Whatever I want.
Yeah, well, that's a game changer because I remember an organization that I was a board member of many years turned into a 504, and it was a game changer for them. I know that, especially with the pipelines and things like that that were happening and still happening.
Right, and there's this a version, and it's a good one, in 501c3 nonprofits to stay out of political work. And there's actually a level of political work and even lobbying that's allowed, but a lot of our funders specifically prohibit that and things. But I'll tell you, in an earlier life, you know, I served on Upfront Minnesota, which is our state's largest LGBTQ organization, as on the board there. Wow. And Upfront had a 501c3, a 501c4, and a PAC that were all under the Upfront umbrella. And they were very adept at firewalling the activities between the different organizations, and they operated under one umbrella. They had to have three different boards and things. There are requirements, but once you're set up responsibly, it's not that impossible to do. It's in some ways, and I'm way oversimplifying this, but it's like bookkeeping, right? You have to be very clear. When you're doing this, you're only doing this. When you're doing and paying for that and this or that, you're just doing those exclusive activities. But it's doable, and maybe it's because of my experience in governance of a complicated organization like that. It doesn't freak me out. I welcome the opportunity.
Yeah, you know, and that's exciting too. So let's go back to a little bit about what's happening in the community. We know nationally that there was verbiage changed and things taken off the federal websites about feeding people that we've already been taxed for. Everything's been paid for, but the regime, I should call them, the orange regime, is stopping money just to, I don't know, just to be mean to poor people in the Democratic Party. So it's help me out here. What the?
I mean, I don't have any, I don't understand this mindset. But you're right, it is being mean. I mean, as best as I can tell, it's to cause pain, right? And to cause pain to people who don't feel that are worthy. You know, poor browner people for the most part, but, and like I said, that's a common dynamic in the history of Native people, right? We were controlled in this way, so it feels very familiar. I feel to me, anyway. And then the whole point is to funnel more money to billionaires, right, to people, and you know, you got to ask how much money do you need? What would be enough? You know, and when it's built on literally on suffering and starving people, elders, children, you know, our most vulnerable people, it's unconscionable, and they don't seem to care. They don't seem to care. And then irony is, and I'm not a big fan of irony, but that they frame this in sort of a Christian framework, right? Oh. And they're doing the Christian thing, and that makes me even more confused.
Exactly. Well, hey, Robert Reich, who I love reading his posts, he said Amazon just announced 14,000 layoffs, and its CEO made over $40 million last year. UPS announced 48,000 layoffs, and its CEO made over $24 million last year. Intel announced 20,000 layoffs, and its new CEO pay package is valued at nearly $69 million. This is what I mean when I say the system is rigged, you know?
Totally rigged. Oh, yeah. I think it's more and more rigged under this administration. And, excuse me, like I said earlier, how much money do you really need? You know, how much? And so it's this, we're in this era of incredible wealth inequality, growing wealth inequality. I'm sure you probably have this statistic at your fingertips, but it's something like 8 people in this country have more wealth than half the world combined, right?
Yeah.
Something like that, you know?
Yeah.
So how can that even be? That is not sustainable. It's not healthy. And so
it's hoarding.
It's hoarding. Right. And then it's creating pressures and pains, right, in our communities. So something's going to happen, and our federal government is now poised to move into communities, to use military force against our own citizens.
Yeah, and that's really becoming a thing here now, because I feel like he's lining things up for when the election happens. you know, that they're going to be military people all across the country here, and especially around voting places.
Yep, there will be intimidation, right? It's totally intimidation, and it's to keep certain people away from the polls.
So, Robert, we got only a minute or two left. I'd love if you are able to, spit out what's happening with Native American Community Development Institute this next week. I know you had a great season that ended abruptly today with the Four Sisters Market.
With our Four Sisters Farmers Market. It was just a great season. And so since it was too cold for people to be outside all day, our market manager, Destiny Jones, Ho-Chunk, made the decision to cancel. And then the vendors all hung out in the office and, you know, kind of debriefed on the season and had donuts and things. And that was really sweet. And it was just such a successful season. We have more investment in infrastructure going on in our Four Sisters Urban Farm. And the public sector funder, our county, Hennepin County, has produced additional resources at the end of the year. And so literally while I was talking to you earlier, I was signing a contract online because I want to get started next week and implementing some more. I think it's an irrigation system that they're going to install. Wow. So that's exciting. Our gallery, as you talked about, has matriarchal memory. Yeah. And that's an incredible show. I'd really encourage folks to get there. And I think, is it this weekend? I'm so bad. But we have a Native Authors Program, and I think we're in our third or fourth cohort that works with Native folks. They don't need to be professional authors or anything, but the goal is to get them to publication. Wow. So a number of other authors that have been published. And we have an author's reading, an artist talk coming up in the gallery. Of course, with the election, it's Make Voting a Tradition is in full swing. There's going to be a huge event in our parking lot again this year on Tuesday, Election Day here in Minneapolis. Wow. And so I'd invite you down. It's going to be fun. And then talking with our Secretary of State here in Minnesota, Steve Simon, one of the things we talked about was how successful pop-up voting places were in the community in 2024. And so we're exploring ways of moving into more pop-ups in our urban Indian community for next year, the big election next year. So there's always stuff going on.
Yeah. Hey, and then on a Saturday, big adoption powwow. I hope to see you there. Hey, thank you so much, Robert. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
I missed Adam Beach, so I'm bummed out. I got FOMO. So, you know.
Me too.
Hey, thanks for coming on. We'll see you next week. This is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back with Wendy Pilot.
Stay with us.
Oh.
The Minneapolis Police Department is hiring, and we're looking for people ready to lead, serve, and reflect the communities we protect.
Whether you're a new graduate, changing careers, or already in law enforcement, there's a path for you to join our department.
With top-tier pay, full benefits, paid training, and a direct path to making a difference, this is more than a job. This is your chance to shape the future of Minneapolis Police.
Choose service. Choose leadership. Choose Minneapolis. Visit our city website to learn more.
Discover Matrilineal Memory by Hopi artist Michaela Schaefer, now in view at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis. This evocative exhibition features paintings, poetry, and installations that explore memory and cultural preservation. Don't miss Artist Talk with Michaela Schaefer on Saturday, November 15th from 2 to 3:30 p.m. at the gallery. Matrilineal Memory is open through December 13th. Experience art that transforms memory into connections and healing. Details at allmyrelationsarts.org.
Are you a Metro Transit rider? Join the Free Riders Club and let your voice be heard. Our motto is Transit Voices United, and when you become a member, you'll participate more closely in decision-making, plus earn the opportunity for exclusive merchandise at Metro Transit events. Help improve your transit system. We value your opinion. Join at metrotransit.org/ridersclub and start being rewarded today. That's the Riders Club at metrotransit.org/ridersclub.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis Air dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis Air on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Oh-ho! This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka Hicha Wicha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our wolf and bear populations. Say no to the hunts.
No.
Oh.
Rawr. Rawr. Go get some picnic baskets. I guess that would be the Yellowstone bear.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, I want to introduce my awesome, beautiful wife, Wendy. She's been an animal advocate for many years, and she's a co-founder of Native Roots Radio here in our ninth season. And you've been doing our sacred animal portion for 9 years, and I've learned so much. So yeah. Take it away.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Robert. Hey, my name is Hanajihihani. That means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga. I am a policy volunteer for Humane World for Animals, formerly known as the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. They're doing a lot of research, the scientists out there, Robert. And researchers have now documented Alzheimer's-like disease in several dolphin species, including, bottlenose and pilot whales. In detailed post-mortem brain studies, scientists found the same two hallmark features seen in human Alzheimer's patients, beta amyloid plaques and tau tangles. These are the defining biological markers of the disease in people. Because dolphins live long lives and have complex social brains, their aging processes appears to be parallel aspects of our own. One emerging theory is that older, cognitively impaired dolphins may become disoriented and inadvertently lead their pod towards shore, which could help explain certain mass strandings that have puzzled marine biologists for decades, right? The scientists have found like all these pods of dolphins washed up on the shore, and this may be one of the reasons why. The findings also raise broader questions. Is this a naturally occurring condition of advanced intelligence and longevity, or are ocean pollutants such as mercury and industrial toxins accelerating neural decline in marine mammals? Either way, it suggests that Alzheimer's may not be uniquely human. It may be vulnerability shared by large brain, socially sophisticated mammals, and it offers scientists an unexpected new window into how neurodegeneration begins and processes.
Wow.
Wendy, yeah. So what they're going
to
be.
We used to talk about dogs that might have it too.
Yeah. And they talk about doggy dementia.
Right.
You know, so yeah. So they're, what they're doing is when they find these pods of dolphins washed up, you know, the leader of the pack, you know, if it has Alzheimer's, they're looking at the brain and it's showing the, you know, biomarkers that are found in humans.
Wow.
We'll see what happens. I mean, you know, the studies could help find ways that could help, you know, humans also, you know, so we'll have to figure out what's going on, but it is sad. My own personal theory is that I'm sure it's toxins that's causing the problems.
What did they say?
Mercury. Yeah.
And remember, as human beings, we used to have put mercury in our fillings.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
You remember that?
Yes.
I mean, I don't think I had any.
I don't have any either. I have some old fillings that need to be replaced. But
I'd leave the cabinets open and just to get you to get mad at me. But I forget sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I forget, Wendy.
Well, that's a sad story, but I have four stories that talk about animals finally getting to live free after many, many years of captivity. And I hope I have enough time to talk about all of them. And if not, I'll just bring them back on another show. Mm-hmm. So this is from World Animal News. In a groundbreaking move for animal welfare, Nova Scotia has officially approved Canada's first ever seaside whale sanctuary, marking a major victory in the fight to end captivity of marine mammals. Yeah. Wow. The sanctuary to be established in Port Hilford Bay will provide beluga whales with a permanent peaceful home in a natural ocean environment, far from the concrete tanks that they have been kept held captive in for years. The Whale Sanctuary Project, WSP, will transform a sheltered cove into a refuge that is 100 times larger than the cramped enclosures at Marineland in Niagara Falls. This ocean sanctuary will allow whales to swim freely, experience natural rhythms like tides and seasons, and finally live in an environment that is, resembles the wild, while still receiving the care they need after years of confinement. You know, they can't be just set out to sea by themselves. They do need help from us because, you know, they don't know how to fend for themselves. But I think that that's wonderful. Yeah. And I always ask people, please boycott any marine park who keep these animals in these conditions, especially SeaWorld.
Yeah.
Yeah. Facebook friend Lucy Pato, she posts a lot of good animal stuff. He took his first breath of open ocean in 40 years and didn't look back. Yeah. George, the loggerhead had lived most of his life in a tank in Argentina. He learned to swim in circles, eat from a bucket, and look at people through glass. Then came the day the gate opened. On April 11th, 2025, a boat carried him 15 nautical miles off Mar del Plata. Hands steadied his shell. The waves lifted. He slipped into the Atlantic and vanished beneath the surface. So this is a turtle I'm talking about. Yeah, what happened next feels like a small miracle. In his first 70 days of freedom, George swam more than 1,700 miles.
Whoa.
Yeah.
They must have had a...
Yes, he's tagged so they could watch and see where he is. If he's in trouble, they can go help him, you know. Good. That kind of thing. Yeah. He hugged the coast, crossed different islands, and headed towards warm waters of Brazil. Yeah, he did what wild turtles do. He followed the currents, hunted again, and rested where the sea felt right.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
This thing, he was 40 years old, did you
say? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. This didn't happen by chance. For 3 years, a team helped him practice life skills he had forgotten.
Wow.
Right? They raised the salt in his pool a bit by bit so he could get used to the salt water. They swapped eggs and beef that they gave him to eat for crabs and snails. They even made currents in the pool so he could learn to push through the currents.
Good on them, because these turtles can live 300 years.
Exactly. So the turtle is about 60 years old. He might live to 80 or more. For decades, he was a symbol of captivity. Yeah, now he's a sign that what, you know, patient, careful work can do, nature remembers. So all that stuff is coming back to him. I'm so happy that they took the time to reteach him the skills that he needs to be a wild turtle again.
I remember there was a turtle when I was a kid, and again, 64 years old, we'd go to Como Zoo and you could ride him. And he was old he was in there. Yeah.
I hate that.
I know.
Yeah, but some nights his tracker pinged from offshore, and some days it was quiet and everybody held their breath, right? So they're watching this tracker that they have. Each signal was a small cheer from the deep. Each mile was proof that freedom can be learned again. Yeah, here's to the people really who stood by him, and here's to George still swimming. So it's really, really unbelievable. I'm really, really happy about that. And I'm really happy that, you know, people are recognizing that these animals are...
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Todd Allbaugh.
Join us for a special Halloween edition next time. Peter Rapine from EPOM's World with spooky headlines. And on a serious note, celebrating Day of the Dead or Dia de los Muertos with Juan Garcia.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. What's going on with Earl Ingram?
The No Kings rallies across this nation, they reminded me of, it was an organization called the Tea Party. Senior citizens were a part of the Tea Party. And there are a lot of senior citizens involved in the No Kings rallies.
Listen to the Civic Media exclusive podcast, What's Going On with Earl Ingram. Find the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 96.9 WBZH.
This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The Senate has adjourned for the weekend, meaning there'll be no movement on ending the federal government shutdown until Monday at the earliest. Before they return, food benefits for tens of millions of Americans will run dry.
42 million Americans will lose SNAP funding when it runs out. And it comes on the same day Obamacare open enrollment begins, when some 20 million Americans will see their insurance premiums more than double on average. Democrats have said they'd be willing to work with Republicans to reopen the government if Republicans negotiate with them to stop that.
Police say two men were found dead in two separate flooded basements in New York City today after torrential downpours from heavy storms. A 43-year-old became trapped in a boiler room when the water rose, and a 39-year-old man who lived in a basement apartment died when he went back to get his dog, say witnesses. President Trump says he's directing the Pentagon to begin testing nuclear weapons immediately. This is ABC News.